until the pronunciation, Margaret.
I think it was Group Magazine that came up a couple of weeks ago and it had a picture of Graham on it and that said his daughter was a religious guru, a spiritual ghost. Well, you know, that's just, the world is asking that question, but it would be not worth to ask that question, because they answered it in their way, but we'd have a different answer for it, I'm sure.
I noticed that I read that article.
I did too.
And it evidently was written by a modern preacher.
No doubt.
And that's an amazing thing. One of the thorns in the side of the modernist is the being born again. And wherever they can, they cast a slur on it. And the same thing happened right there in America.
You see, they come so near the truth and just miss the truth entirely, don't they? They say they're seeking God for something. They're seeking God for help. They're seeking God for safety. They're seeking God for protection of the animal and all that. And then this writer goes on to say, that isn't why we should seek God. Well, we know that. We should seek God and serve Him for what He is. Well, you know, that comes awful close to being right, isn't it? But they are forgetting the key how we can serve Him, and that is only through the Lord Jesus Christ.
They seem to forget that the reason why people are going for religion is that the Spirit of God is working on them. And the reason that they don't find what they want is because the manifold number of ministers that don't even know the way themselves.
Right.
It's the cisterns without water. But this thing that these people being stirred to religious things, that's the work of the Spirit. It's working on their hearts.
That's right.
And they're being aware of the sense of their need, that they're in need, that there's a need for a change. They're looking for something better. And if they don't find it, there's only one person, one class of person that's responsible.
Yes.
And that's the Christian. Esau, remember that book? When he spent, I forget how many years and a half at the missionary, and he'd come home, and the Lord laid on him the appointment of a school, a Bible school, in Wales. And he took a month just to recuperate, to rest. And in that period, why the Lord revealed to him the place and the location of the school at home. And then the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, there's the college that the Catholics were dying for. They were working to try to get it because at that time they were embedding to build their own schools in university towns where there were colleges and stuff. They were trying to set up their own, you know, as a counteract. And when Reese found that out, he realized he was up against the big organization and so forth. But that first told him, correctly, that if Christians had believed, Catholicism would have never moved back in the way of that. If Christians had believed. And you say, well, a Christian is a believer. But that thing of believing is going ahead and stepping out and going in the power of God and moving ahead into the battle. Taking away even though you don't see or don't understand, but still being faithful to the things of the Lord. Catholicism would never move back into that country. But the Christians are just like we are in this country. We're being led to the sea. And in doing so, all these things creep in on us and they build around us and we find ourselves cornered and we wonder how it happened. It was done while we were sitting. They're working constantly. To set up their
court. We don't really have too many minutes now, and this is a new schedule of meeting, and I think that there's no reason we can't go ahead and vote on something we put on the side so we can get it going. And like to mention is the one that Lee suggested. She said, no, you've got eternal life. Am I misquoting that?
Maybe.
Hold on a second, we'll get this for sure. What's that reference?
1 John 5:13.
Something that just really
quick stimulation. The mind will say, well, where am I headed for? Eternity where?
Pardon me. You were talking about heaven or hell. Now it's slipped my mind.
How is that not encompassed
in the verse after death the judgment?
After death,
and then it's scripture when you want after death the judgment.
Everything down here.
Well, I'm tired of that. You guys, the first part of Jim for reconsideration. Jesus Christ in another story, any comment about that? Have this or otherwise?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm pushing you. We're going to make a motion that we put that on our side. I think that's all right. We don't need any more than except in small letters, maybe a purse or something like that. But of course, they would never look that up.
No,
not like that.
You'd be surprised, though, that there are people that will.
I'd rather put the reference on.
Oh, it should be a reference.
As well as CBOC, but that would be secondary. Very secondary, I'd
mention.
We've got the first part. Jesus Christ, and then.
With the reference. What reference?
Couldn't you?
You could, but they wouldn't get that, would they?
Bob, thou shalt not use the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
I'm sitting in the back sport, bro.
The thing I'm thinking about is the fact that we're saying that Jesus Christ is not a swear word. And when we make that statement, I personally feel that it's good to point to something that says that it is made in that square word. Thou shalt not use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I could be wrong there, but to me...
What does Acts 4:12 is a little powerful.
Acts 4:12 is maintaining one of the grace, while the other would be putting him back on the law.
Well, move in a second, if you have any discussion.
What's the verse?
There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved.
Jesus Christ is God's word. Acts 4:12, CBMC. Question? All those in favor, signify the legal sign.
Now that's one fact.
Acts 4:12 to retaining the memory. But a lot of folks might be in the same thing in relation to this other, Hebrews 9:27. A lot of folks might be stimulated to say, well, what's that? And then find it and go look it up and see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's
right. Then maybe go down the road and see that road with the stars not a soil road. And see up on there when he gets in the whole valley and see the Bible and it's come to his mind. And curiosity is one of the beautiful ways to transportation and to teach, is to arouse the curiosity.
One thing is that Maryland clergy people will pass the side more than once. Even if so he's there from the next building once a month, he'll pass it again. And if he misses it the first time, he'll be able to look at the work he will see many times as he goes back and forth to work. It's just the occasional chance of loneliness that will pass it once and never again.
Well, I think that's the thing we should do. If you're not reaching, is the work.
That's right.
We're going to later on from this on the
Have these scripture references put in large and bold relief?
Very. I would say it would be common enough that the man can, when he sees it, that he can remember it.
Yeah. And that's true. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look to him shall he appear the second time without sign, without sin, unto salvation.
I will hear a mention that the fruit of his eye.
I make a motion that we use that text. Second.
Quite as to go on this other side here. Then we got one side. Jesus Christ is not a swear word. Acts 4:12. Mission with the CBMC. Well, it should be written out, Christian Businessmen's Committee, because they're not familiar with it.
No.
Is that right?
I don't know.
No. That's small letters in CBMC.
That's a wrong thing for make to print, too.
Mm-hmm.
They have a motion for a hearing in second.
I see. And what goes on the second side? After death or judgment?
After death or judgment.
Right. I'll
tell you. Moved and seconded. Question? Now's the time to speak up. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by the same sign. Fine. At least we've accomplished something. Now we have the one other item of old business. We have the chat.
I
don't know
if
you're calling, I'm going to go ahead. We asked the secretary to clear with Reverend Hanover whether or not he was able to do this. And,
if that's all the number means, we wouldn't have to have a number, because the minute that he comes into the stadium, it's a charitable organization, they know what number to apply. Yeah. They got that.
Well, all we can do is ask him if he can draw up like that, and if not, well, we'll have to make some other arrangements.
It doesn't seem logical to me that the local organization needs to be incorporated for income tax purposes, since we're part of the international. But according to Howard, well, that may be the case. At any rate, we are honor-bound to be a legal giving agency for the sake of some people who gave fairly sizable amounts to other people through us just so they could get their income tax deduction, and we've got to get this done. Any other old business? That's a new business that we'll mention briefly, and then we'll be through here by a quarter after, so we can have our talk of the morning.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Have they been reminded of that meeting tonight? The twins are going to be over there.
Yeah, we commented on it just before you came, I believe, Dale. What time? Is that start? Is it 8 o'clock?
We've agreed to start meeting at 8, a quarter to 8 every Monday night.
The meeting starts at 8 o'clock. It's a quarter to 8 o'clock.
Down there at 7:45, right? All right, Clark. The twins will be there from CMA Church. According to the Constitution, we are to have an election of officers fairly soon. And as you know, it is set up in a rather unique way. And I think that there's been some comment that we might, for our own organization, deviate somewhat from that the formula set down by the national, which is as follows. That on the first, the basic organization is a 7-man executive committee, of which a few are elected each year, 2 and 2 and 3, something like that. And from this, the officers are taken by election of that 7-man committee, so that it is run much the way, same way a large corporation is, that they pick their board of directors, and from the board of directors, the officers are chosen. But for a small organization such as this, why, it might be better, and it has been said, and I personally agree, it would be better to elect our own officers directly. So here's what I propose to do. Next week, we probably, I think, should elect a vice chairman, as Pete put it, so that there will be some continuity. I won't presume to become chairman of the organization, but we can get me a vice chairman. We'll elect that next week. Secondly, we are supposed to elect 2 members for the to replace the 2 that are leaving the executive council of 7 men. And we'll I know that Pete Rosendale is one of those who was elected last year for 1-year term. I don't know who the other one was that was elected for only 1 year. Do you know, Basil?
No, I don't. No, I don't remember.
Because we have, it must then either be Red Poffenberger or
Al Oakland.
Oakland, one or the other of them.
I think it's Al.
You do, huh? So, at any rate, 2 of those are automatically replaced by 2 other men. That is supposed to be done in the month of November. I think the first meeting, but not necessarily. Anyway, we won't get around to it the next meeting. Then I believe that, as indicated in the Constitution, the present officers, which will be Jim and Basil and myself, form a nominating committee to nominate the men for the nominate the new officers. But then instead of electing them, having the board of executives elect them, the executive board, well, they will be nominated at an open meeting, and nominations will also be received from the floor, and the election will take place at that time. So it will be an open election such as you have in most any meeting. That's what I have in mind, and we'll discuss it more next meeting. I would like to have a postcard sent to each member. Can you do that? Telling him we're going to have something important to do.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I think that you're not quite correct in one statement, and that is the nominating committee is the officers that are retired.
The present officers. Oh, I see. Oh, the 2 that are retired.
The retired officers become the nominating committee. No, I'm just talking to you about the Constitution.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good idea because, after all, you know, all of us want to be these officers very bad, but we don't want anybody to know it. So if you retire, you're not going to put yourself up again, are you?
That's just one reason. I'm glad we're turning over that.
But, Mr. Chairman, I'll promise you that I'll say in a few words, but if I may, yeah. I'd like to say something.
But just a minute. You mean the 2 that are retiring from the executive
committee? According to the Constitution, those are the nominating committee. Am I correct?
That's right.
That would be you and Al Oakland, then.
That's right.
Okay. Okay, I thought it was the present officers, but go ahead. All right.
You know, personally, I never did like this idea that, of course, I may get a letter and put out and expelled from the Christian business. But that would be an experience anyway. But I'm not in agreement with their constitution. You know, the corporations, that's how they exactly do it, just like you stated. Because then they come together and they have all these trustees, all these stockholders, all these directors. Not that I know anything about it, but I heard about it. And then they have to elect the president. They don't elect the president, you know, for his capacity. They elect the president for the amount of stock that he's got. And why should we follow that sort of example? I think that if we have a chairman here, I think the group should elect the chairman. And if it has to be one of the seven, well, all right, let's be one of the seven, but because it should be one of the trustees, I guess. But it seems to me that that corporation idea never appealed to me. It's very undemocratic, as I see it. And there has been some members here that didn't like it. I know last year. For instance, they say, well, who's going to be president? Well, we can't tell you. We're going to have election all of our own. It doesn't even sound democratic, does it?
So, we will...
You're probably
the one that's going to pull me out.
He's got my
number. Yes, he has. All right. So be it then. We'll elect a vice chairman next week and discuss this and set the dates for the organizational election. Is there anyone who actively disagrees right now?
I think you're already out of the organization. You're already out of the organization. They might write me a letter, but I think you're already out.
Oh, yeah, well.
Because we're not supposed to elect the vice chairman. Here. You see my point?
That's right. We are in there. But we'll go ahead and do it, though. Okay.
And let the Constitution fend for itself.
Right. As a rule, some people leave by 7:45 or thereabouts. You can talk as long as you want, but if some leave, well, you'll understand why. I think my watch is right. You have half an hour, and you can use all or part of that as you like.
I don't want to stay much longer. My car's by a parking meter.
That's right. I'll move it. Come on up to the head of the table.
Well, I am grateful for this opportunity to witness for the Lord, to tell how He saved me, washed me in His blood, and made me His own child. And I told Walter to the fellows down there when they asked me to speak that I wasn't a preacher, but I am a witness, and I want to be a faithful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and in telling others about His love and knowing from Him. You know, Moses, he wasn't eloquent either, and the Lord called him, and the Lord wanted to use him just like he was. Yeah, we don't have to be eloquent to serve the Lord to be witnesses. I thought I'd read for us this morning part of the missionary chapter in the Bible, point out a couple of things from it. Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the altar of the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. In a general way, this is a picture of salvation, that when people come to the Lord, this is the way they come. They see, first of all, the power of God, that God is almighty, and that he's a God of judgment. And the people who are saved are saved because they have seen God and learned to fear, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then they see God and they realize their own undone condition before him, their own need. As the prophet here says, for I am undone. He was no doubt a very religious man and had lived quite a clean moral life, but here he realizes when he sees God that he's undone before him. And then the act of forgiveness by God. What was done, of course, isn't what happens when we are saved. We are washed by the blood. But it was salvation for him, for it says, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Our sins are purged when we come to Christ and he washes us in his blood. But then a lot of Christians stop here and go no farther. But Isaiah stayed on a little while and heard of the need and volunteered. We'll read the verses also. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people. I talked to an old fellow back in the East who had been saved. He told me about his experience of salvation, but he never went any farther. He couldn't tell me about anybody who went to the Lord, or even anybody he witnessed to all his life, and he was saved in his young self. Well, that's a sad situation, but the Lord not only wants to save us, but he does want us to serve him. And he is looking for men. It does seem like that God is short-handed at times, that there are so very few that do respond to his call, to his word in our obedience. I like to read in Matthew again the Great Commission, starting at the 16th verse, the 28th chapter. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That is, our commission is for all Christians, that we are to go and to teach all nations. Well, there are some nations that haven't been taught yet. And the idea is that we realize that this commission is for us. If God has told us to go and teach all nations, that's a Christian's business. I was thinking that you're a Christian businessman, but I was wondering whether you have your own business and serve the Lord on the side, or if your business is serving the Lord and you have your business on the side, if you know what I mean. That this is for all Christians, that we are to go and teach all nations. I thought that illustration too. It's an old familiar one about the 11 men carrying a log, 10 men on one end and one on the other, and everybody wants to call the help, wants to go help the 10, and there's the one that's telling him by himself. But there are countries, places in this world where there is a definite need, where the people have never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a heart is especially burdened about the Indian tribes, the Indian tribes in this country, and the Indian tribes in South America. There are quite a few of them down there yet that haven't been there. My heart was challenged by hearing about one of them. And I was saved while I was in the Navy, and the fellows that led me to the Lord, they were acquainted with a missionary group. And they were interested in missions, and they're always talking about missions, and they got interested in it too. And missionary life, when we think of it, we don't know what life is, think of it from the outside, it doesn't seem very appealing at times. The attractions of it is not what anybody ever went for anyway. It was obeying the Lord and realizing that the people need the Word of God. A lot of people say that the Indians, some of those who went to South America, say that the Indians are happy that they're getting along all right and they don't need missionaries to go to them. But we lived with the Lakitaris for part of 3 years, and they aren't happy. We knew that because we saw their lives firsthand, and we could see that as a general, that, well, there wasn't any of them that were really happy, and among them, they were even carefree, like they used to talk about them. And we know they are bound by sin, and the natural, that is one reason we want to go to them, so they might be delivered from those things. Like with the Makuhitaris, they have to have a fiesta for everything they do. If they clear the land for a Kanoko, they have to have a fiesta afterwards. And their fiesta consists, first of all, of drinking their liquor. It's a fermented, I don't know how they describe it, they make it out of yucca root. It's kind of like a paste, and they let it sit and ferment, and then they drink that. And then they have their dancing along with it. And they would be working hard all day and be quite tired, and they come home in the evening and then have to start their fiesta. Well, some of them told us that they didn't want to do it, but they were afraid not to, that they had to keep on doing those sort of things. Well, there are other things that bind the natives, like among the Piaroa Indians, they, before they go hunting or anything like that, they had to chant a certain amount of time. They would have one man, the leader, would sit in his hut and he would chant, and the rest of them would repeat after him in unison, and they do that for maybe all night, like if they were going on a big hunt. But for anything they got, they had to chant for it first, and they had a special chant for each kind of thing they had wanted to hunt. If they had chanted for something else, well, they couldn't. I mean, if they chanted for something, saw something else, and they saw it, they couldn't kill it because they hadn't chanted for it. Well, the Piaroas are a dying people, and they're cheating themselves out of food that way because they don't always get what they want chant for. And another thing is that they believe one of the animals, the tapir, that the spirit of the grandfather goes into that animal, so they can't eat it. And this animal comes in and eats up their farms, and they can't do anything about it. And they're really bad off that way. Of course, among the Guaycas, some of the practices they had, that every afternoon it was, they'd work in the morning or go hunting, but in the afternoon every one of them, when the boys are about old enough, maybe 13 or 14, so then on up, why, they start taking dope every afternoon. And they snuffed it up into their nostrils, and they kept on taking it until they felt, well, didn't feel anything really. And then they would start chanting. One of the Piaroa fellas gave me one of the outfits they use for making the dope. I brought it along so you could see what it looks like. This is what they use to grind it on. This is a little mortar they use. These things have been carved out probably by a bone knife. And they put the dope in here and they grind it on. I didn't bring any dope along. They put it in here and they grind it on, and it's a kind of a thing that fluffs up real big. Just a little teeny piece of it fluffs up real big. And then they take this gadget here and they have somebody else do it for them. Blow it through this into their nostrils. They put this in their nostrils. And they keep on breathing this stuff until they pass up into the upper air and can communicate with the evil spirits. I mean, the spirits in the air, the Bible tells us that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And that's the way this fellow said they work. They keep on taking the dope until they feel their spirit leave their body and go up into the air. And they see up there they can communicate with the powers of the air. The spirits are up there. And they get knowledge that way, and they can make deals with them. Well, they actually do that. They do have the power of Satan, and they have been able to work cures that way. And, well, it's it's quite different when you actually see the thing that you just talked about. I mean, to actually be in a situation is always different than what we imagine it to be in. But you can really feel the power of Satan working there, and there's only one thing you know that we have against it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't have him in our hearts, it's the wrong time to be there. God can give us the victory, and we sure have to pray during these times, and it is during those times that we are grateful, because we know that people back here are praying for us and holding us up before the throne. I was going to tell you a story about the fellow who gave me this. He was a witch doctor himself, and he had quite a violent temper, and they said he got in an argument with some of the Indians about their farm, and he killed one of them. And so they took him down to the jail in San Fernando de Atabapo, and we would have to be down there at the time. And we met the fellow up at the village where we were. He came up there to trade. He was a PRO, and the PRO is about poisoning him for the Maki Tars. They bought blowguns and poison, and they traded with them for what the Maki Tars had to trade. So they brought him down to this jail, and so we went down to see him there, and we went quite a few times in the afternoon to talk with him about the Lord. But we were never sure that he really understood. He would always agree, and he would say that he had faith in Christ. But we didn't know for sure, but he asked me to keep these things for him. And I'll just keep them, because if he's really saved, he won't want them again when he gets out. He did seem to have a real change in his life from our talks with him there. I mean, you can tell the difference in just the general atmosphere of being around them when they're living for the Satan like that and dealing in the things of Satan. And of course, the real reason that we want to see these people saved is because they are bound for eternal punishment if they aren't. The Bible says the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge it. If Christ died for all, then we're all dead. And that means that if they don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, they are dead, and they are bound for eternal punishment. And these things look overwhelming when we think of how many there are that don't have Christ. But it's God's word, and it should be a motivating power for us to go out and reach more for him and to be more faithful in telling others. One of the things that I liked about the missionary life was the river travel. You go on boats there, there's no roads, and outboard motors, and they use canoes. Dugouts, they call them, but I don't like to call them that because it sounds crude, and their canoes look pretty nice. But it gets interesting at times traveling on the river, for instance, it happened to us once. We were just going up the rapids, and we got to a very dangerous place, and the motor quit. So the motor starts fumbling with the motor to try to get it started again, and just in time it started again before we got washed under some rock. Well, a lot of things like that. When we went up to our Indian village, we had to portage around a fall. We had to leave the boat and motor there and take our stuff up around the path around the falls and go up on from there by canoe. The Indians had poles they used. We had a crew of about six, so stand in the front of the canoe with poles and push it on up from there. That gets quite interesting, too. There'd be some narrow places they'd have to pass in the river, maybe about this wide, and there'd be about that much of a drop in the water. The current would be real swift, and they'd have to get out on the rocks along the side and pull the canoe up by hand and get back in and push on. I remember one time I got out to help them push, and my foot slipped, and I had a hat on, and the hat went floating back by the canoe, but one of the Indians even grabbed it. Well, I grabbed it on the side of the canoe, otherwise I would have went clear on under. One of the men was up there, Mr. Rehart, and their canoe, when they were coming down in the late spring, it was really too late to travel on the river, and the Indians wouldn't have went down if Mr. Rehart had insisted. He didn't want to get down real bad, so they went. But one of their canoes went under just before it came to the falls, and they never saw it again. There's a terrific undertow there. Let's see. The Indians that we lived with, they were quite industrious people. They worked about 5 months out of the year cutting, not cutting lumber, but taking the sap out of trees, the cheek leaf that they make gum out of. And for 5 months out of the year, they'd be busy every day at that. And of course, the ones who they worked for are too conscientious about paying them. But they always have enough to eat, and they maybe give them a couple of pair of pants and a couple of shirts for 5 months' work or something like that. And liquor. They pay them off mostly in liquor. Well, that's a situation we can't do anything about, but and it does hinder the work there. But our work has been in trying to bring the gospel to them. Some of the Makati Tara spoke a little Spanish, but it was just about like the case with the fellow gave me these things that we can never be sure if they understand. And we have to learn the language to be able to speak to them. And it's always a person's native language that really speaks to their hearts. And something else, the trade language is just foreign to them. And well, we were working on a language there, and it's what they call linguistic work. We studied a little bit about how to listen, how to write the words down so that we can put their language into writing. And the idea of that is not only so we can present the gospel to them, but we can translate God's word into their language in so that they can have it to read. Of course, and along with that, you have to teach them to read in their own language too. And well, that's one thing that is really needed on the field is people that have linguistic ability. We didn't get too far with the language. One of the difficulties was that we didn't have somebody there to help us most of the time. We didn't have the tape recorder that they're using now, because we could have got the information when they were there and used it when they were gone. But they are using tape recorders, and they need somebody who has some technical knowledge to keep them up, too. But the thing I was trying to say is that you don't have to be a preacher to be a missionary. There's a lot of other work that needs to be done. I mean, like a foreign missionary. The last year that we were down there, we were buying supplies for the people. We went to the town where the end of the road, and we bought the supplies. We had to take care of all the business, handling the mail and the accounts and buying the supplies. And there's that kind of work to do on the field. And then there was in Caracas, they had to have a man there who had to deal with the government, a public relations man, more or less, and deal with the government and getting the passports and that we've got permission that we have to work there and all those sort of things. And then, too, there's needed the school teacher for teaching the school children of the missionaries that are there. They could go to the public school, but it so happens that our group work is all out with the tribes and is in public school with the tribes. So they need a school teacher. But I was mentioning these things to point out the fact that there is need for laborers and that it isn't only preachers that are needed there. In all these places, in all the tribes, and the tribes that haven't been reached. There is a need, and God wants to speak to our hearts, and maybe He wants to speak to somebody's heart here today about going and about being obedient to His word in going. I'm not saying that you aren't obedient by staying, but you know your own heart, and that God can speak to hearts. I remember Paul Fleming telling about it at a Bible convention when it was. There was a bunch of Bible workers there, and they were preachers. Paul Fleming presented the question of how many of them that the Lord spoken to about the foreign field, and they hadn't gone. And he said about 80% of them raised their hands. Well, he said, "What did you come here for?" And he said, "The Lord can't bless disobedience. You came here to get a blessing, and the Lord can't bless disobedience." I just brought that out that to show the fact that the Lord doesn't want everybody on the field, but the thing is, a lot of people that he wants here don't want to go. But the way of real blessing and happiness in the Lord is being obedient to him, and I should praise the Lord because he has had all my needs in him. And I can't say truthfully that Christ satisfies, and the only way of life is being obedient to him. We can't all go, that's true, but that for all Christians too, the verse that says, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest. That applies to all of us, that we all need to be praying that the Lord would send forth laborers into his harvest. The need is for laborers. You can't reach him by radio, and you can't reach him by the other things that have been tried, but just by going. The Indians where we were didn't have any radios and never heard of them. The need is for laborers, and we do need to be faithful in praying that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers and upholding those who have gone forth, that they might know the power of God in their lives, that they might be upheld by him. I won't take any more of your time this morning. I do thank you for the opportunity that I've had. If you want to ask any questions.
What did they make you do that?
Well, it was some kind of a rip. But the few roses are the ones who went out and gathered. But, well, of course, the Quakers had their own too. But it was some kind of root they take and they process it somehow, dry it out and cook it a little maybe.
Dean, is there any contact with the outside world that if some of these tribes are getting successes, that maybe someone doesn't, one person may not be able to go directly to them, but is there any way that you can kind of go by succession, say this person here understands a little bit of this one here, and you can find someone in this one understand a little bit of the next one, so that you can get up to them that way, or do you have to break the language down from bare facts, or I mean just from a bare standing start? Or?
Well, no, the language of each tribe is entirely separate. And they, like the Guaycas, there's a whole group, the Guaycas, the Guayribas, the Guaycas are really just a sub-tribe of the speak essentially the same language, they have different dialects. But they didn't speak any Spanish at all, so there was no connection at all that we could have with them. We just had to start out and learn their language.
Well, I mean, it's the other way, it was turned around the other way. Suppose the Guaycas now, is there any tribe that understands the Guaycas partially, or that they communicate partially?
Well, the Maquitares live in some of the villages, the Guaycas and the Maquitares, I mean the Guayaribo, that's the same tribe, and the Maquitares live together.
Well, then what I'm saying is then the supposed this one that understands them a little bit, wasn't there understood by someone a little bit, can you reach up to them that way? In other words, the difference, you're going to one tribe and someone will be one to the Lord, but they be persuaded to contact others that maybe they didn't understand much of their language, but they could get enough across so that they could get the gospel across, and just sort of by succession there. I don't know if you get what I mean or not, but
there
any linkage there between languages at all? I know there isn't a direct linkage between Spanish and a lot of those tribes, but I mean, isn't there some linkage in between some of those various tribes that aren't even reached by Spanish?
Well, I don't think that even the ones I knew, like the Maquitari who spoke Guayaribo, he had a very difficult time even trying to explain to them that we wanted to stay there. Well, if he couldn't explain that, he'd have an awful lot of time explaining about the gospel. I mean, the thing is that the ones who, you know, see, there are, in most Indian languages, there are some words that are common. There are few, but there are some words that are common. But as for presenting the gospel that way, that... while the gospel is simple, you have to have a good grasp of the language to be able to present it. I don't think they could ever do it that way. However, the groups of the Guajaribos and the Guaycas, the ones that speak different dialects, if you could reach one group, you could send them to the other groups with a different dialect. That way you'd only have to learn one dialect.
very much. We'll talk about it later. What if
you dismiss us with a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you again because we can come before you, and praise you because you have taught us to come boldly, Lord, because you have suffered in all things like as we have, yet without sin. Lord, we do praise you for the life of victory that is in Christ Jesus, and we do praise you again for the opportunity that you have given us to carry thy word unto others. Father, we do thank you for committing it unto us, Father, and we do pray that you would keep us faithful, Lord, to witness, Father, that you give us boldness and love, Father, for the opportunities that you present, Lord. Father, we do pray that you would help us, Lord, to be yielded to, Father, that, Lord, if you want to speak to our hearts and tell us to go, Father, that we would be willing to listen, Lord. We do pray, Father, that you would bless each of our hearts and lives today, Lord, and use us to thy glory. We do pray again for the ones who have gone forth, Lord, for the many servants who you have sent to faraway places, Lord, in difficult situations, Lord, that you would uphold them today by thy Spirit, Father, and guide and bless them in the work, Lord, of reaching them to thee, in the language study, Father, and the living amongst them, Lord, in the presenting of thy word. Lord, we do praise thee again for thy faithfulness unto us, and we praise thee for thy promise, Lord, to be with us even in the end of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Over the usual spot.
Spot that I can get what I can get out of a chapel. Let's see, this is a taxi.
24th, he says here on the check.
Right on. Things come out all right. Let's see.
10, 11.
Leave one of these philosophies of
well, you know, I don't think he is, but
gradually slips up
on you're not kidding.
Just the way my wife says, look at that clock ticking. She says, every second it goes tick. There goes your life. That's right.
I wonder how
I'm here going back.
I wonder how much we do leave behind. Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime and pardon leave behind us footprints in the sands of time. You know, the sands of time are obliterated, and yet they're not. Now, therein is a great mystery, too. I mustn't get putting forth here because I can't say, you know, I feel very, the Lord talked to me about it terrifically. I called Doris up regarding that meeting, inquired how she was, and never said a word about the youngster. Now you notice I say youngster, and that was what was getting me then. I didn't know whether to say she or he. So I kept quiet, and I thought, what a slap that was to even it's a new baby, and have somebody call him.
Well, I never have called it yet. I didn't know what it was.
It's a girl. I got two boys and a girl.
Say, does gunsmith fix things like this?
No.
This
no.
One keeps jumping up. I don't know. There it is, see?
Put a brick on it.
Take rubber bands put it on.
Well, I don't know how I can straighten my face and door. Well, that's a...
Well, I'll tell you something. I don't think she's worrying about it.
Well, you going down to shop, Jim?
Yes.
Well, I'll be done.
Yeah, I'll wind up there. I'll go by home, take my answer to school.
This Gene, he's quite a boy.
Do you know his address?
It's on Avenue B. You know where the cook or the root beer stand is? The A&W root beer stand?
Well,
what street is that on?
I just really
that's on 11th and Graham.
That's on Graham. Is that 11th in there?
Yeah.
Is that 11th? Well, then...
14th or 11th.
14th. No, it's not on 14th. It's the 14th out there. The Evergreen Shopping Center is on 14th. They're on 13th, rather. So it's not 14th. What's your address, Gene?
844 Avenue B.
844 Avenue B. Gene Higdon.
What
how do you spell your last name?
Why don't you put that in your pocket?
Yeah,
I have. It's already
bounced out.
Look at that.
H-I-G-E?
1170,
and
there's...
Yeah,
H-I-G-E-M-O-U-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E-R-S-E- Well, Lord bless you, brother. Lord bless you. Okay. I got just out of that one thing this morning. Satan being the prince of the power of the air. I mean, we hear that way. We don't get much of a. He's all about us, and he's in. But to get that, how they use that method? That's the first time that I ever got that connected to that policy. And I've heard people say that these goofballs and whatnot, you know, that they that they feel like they're just floating away and all of that. But it's an evil spirit deal.
Yeah. How large is the average crowd?
Well, I don't know. They say government estimates some 0 and some 70,000. But the market carriers are much smaller. The ones that we talked about, they had a very small idea in numbers. They said about 2,000. Well, that was quite extensive, though. I think that it was 20,000.
This very good. Speaking of our signs that we have to be made, you just mentioned, Robert, that this is what we have been waiting for, just such things as this. May I ask that we have waited over 1 year for these signs to be put up, and although we have lost one place to put our sign, possibly that is best if we lost it. The Lord possibly has better places to put them. But what you are doing as a group, we, when I speak of you, I mean all of us, what we are doing among the Christian businessmen is just exactly what we're trying to keep the outsider or non-Christian from doing. We're asking the person to come in and be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ by his blood, but yet we are stalling on that sign for the simple reason we keep putting it off. And well, I'll do it tomorrow. And possibly that is our same attitude about asking a person if his soul is saved. We keep putting it off until tomorrow. And just exactly what can we accomplish when the Lord Jesus Christ asks us to go out and bring the people in and tell them of his word and ask him and tell him how that his soul might be saved, but yet we have stalled for over 1 year in putting up our signs. And I suggest that we put them up for the simple reason that this is not a very good standing with the CBMC of being so neglectful of putting up the sign for the simple reason, how do we expect a person to read God's word, even if it is a verse on that sign, that will at least tell thousands of people who pass it that we are in the city of Billings, and look at the people that has missed the opportunity of being with the CBMC group, possibly because we don't have those signs up. And if we expect to accomplish anything, how can we accomplish it if we simply put it off?
Well, that's good, Bob. I think you should get that information to Dick Merrill. And Bob, just occurred to me, too, that on those signs we should place our time and place of meeting.
I think that's possible, too.
I think I should put that even now on a card and get it to Dick, what's to go on those signs, possibly down the gas company. Maybe we can swing around by that way. I'll take it off the notes, put it on a card, and give him the information so he can arrange it on those signs. We'll get that done with dispatch.
I have noticed between the CBM group also recently, I don't want anyone to think that I am a potential griper, because I am not. But I think a person should have foresight enough to see what is coming. And what I have to mention is this, that unless you are a member of the CBMC group, I do not believe you have too much right to personally express or vote in any one thing that we have. Until that person becomes a member and is accepted by the group, I think they should temporarily hold themselves back until that time comes.
Yes, you're basically sound in that. That I'm very confident, because if no one carried a membership, there just couldn't be a group, because like the old saying, those who dance must pay the fiddler. And you just can't get somebody to pay the fiddler for a lot of people to dance. Everybody's got a, scripturally, every man is to work with, and provide for his own. And so as opportunity, now maybe some of us are lax, maybe I'm lax in not presenting an application, having application blanks available there constantly and right out in sight where people can take them to put in. Now, we trust the beginning of the year that all the group will affiliate.
Well, I'm not speaking to any one individual on this.
No.
But what I mean, let there be fairness among all of us. If one of us is a member and has an application signed, and there are members that wish to come in during the year's time, let them also have a membership in it, for the simple reason it isn't fair to make, well, in other words, let's put it this way, for a small group of the men to carry the load of someone that doesn't. That's the way we have our money for the CPMC group. That's the way we gather portions of it, is through our membership. And, of course, we're not particularly interested in money, or are we particularly interested in a person coming in strictly out of, you might say, forging ahead, trying to crowd themselves ahead into our group and voice their opinion and trying to vote when they themselves are not a member. Now, I may be wrong in my opinion of this, but I do believe...
Well, that's come up on an international scope, and of course they're very strict on that. But the genius of the local organization is to the following of the Holy Spirit. And there have been some wonderful things accomplished in the Spirit, the CBMC group of a number of them. I know you are aware.
Well, I'm not condemning anyone. We all want our brothers in the Lord to be with us. Now, I want that straightened out, too. We love them. We accept them. But at the same time, we have had occasion down there.
That is difficult when one within themselves is forging ahead. Of course, we like that, too, because they feel that they are at one with us. And possibly we have been remiss in not having an application blank constantly under their nose so they can, as they say, take the hint.
Well, that's right. Of course, I'm not condemning one person. They're just as welcome down there, as far as I'm concerned, with the membership or without. But we do have an obligation to the CBMC home office in this respect as to have a membership.
That's right.
With it.
That's right.
And that's what I'm speaking of.
Lord, we thank you this morning. Lord God, we thank you that we are able, Lord, to come to thee in this morning hour. Lord God, we thank you for the ones that's gathered about us. For two or three are gathered together, you are in our midst. Glory to your name. Lord God, strengthen CBMC, that they may become out in greater numbers than they do. Lord God, bless the members that it's impossible to be. Bless Brother Pete, wherever he may be. Lord God, bless these two brothers, Vernon and Jim. Bless their families, Lord. Let them know that there is, Lord God, that you rule over all. And Lord God, this morning time, we thank thee for the things that we shall partake in. We know there's very little we can do, Lord, but at least we're present. And Lord God, you know the various problems each one has on their hearts. You can answer those before we ask, Lord God. We know that to be true, that you answer before we ask. And Lord God, we know that we wish to follow in thy footsteps each day. And Lord God, we thank you that we have been able to come to CBMC. Lord God, may we continue the CPMC. Lord God, in some way touch each heart that should be here. Even if they're late, Lord God, bring them down. And we give thee thanks and we give thee praise for all things that you have done among our brothers. Lord God, any special request that may be up on our heart this morning, we know we can answer. And we give thee thanks especially that you can look down upon us and forgive us for all sins. Lord God, we thank thee and we ask forgiveness in thy precious name.
Father God, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for the fellowship of the redeemed. Truly, Lord, there is a fellowship indeed. A fellowship of loving kindness and peace, a desire for the good of each other, not the tearing down, for Satan is in that business of tearing down. Father, we thank you for times of testing. It gives us a seed how that thy son must have felt when he said to his friends who were nearby, will you two go away? So, Father, there will be fewer number at the present time here on our knees before the week, that we have awareness of thy presence, and thy promise that thou wilt not leave nor forsake thine own. And so we know you're here. We have no complaints. We are thankful to thee for what thou hast done, thy miracle of redeeming grace. To the Lord, it did take a miracle of love and grace to redeem souls. And so, Father, rather than to let our hearts and minds be on that which is unseemly, rather than to be discouraged, we would pray and praise thee and with gladness and with victory in our souls, because of thee is victory over sin, hell, grave. Father, our hearts do yearn for the brethren. Thou dost know the problem of each one. And thou art able to speak to their hearts, each one individually and severally, where they are now. And we do pray that thou wilt come upon them with an awareness that there is a responsibility before thee that each one of us has, that of walking in the light. And so, Father, wherever their footsteps be this day, turn their hearts and live in a fresh belief of a desire to walk in the light that thou wilt shed on each one of our pathways through thy wonderful word. Give us a greater desire to spend time with thee, to feed upon that bread that came down from heaven, giving life into the world. Not death and destruction, but life. Peaceable pursuits, loving kindness, and a joy that truly is full. Father, thank you for the victories in the past week. Thank you for the answering of prayer, even before Mother Bond, we live, even before we ask, God has answered. Lord, we never see this. If we weren't in the attitude of prayer, if we weren't looking to thee, we would never realize thy promises. We'd never realize the truth of thy word. And so, Father, we realize that's the situation of people who forget to pray. They get far away. They haven't had warmth, they haven't had touch with you. So, Father, we pray for them. We're renewing, drawing anew and afresh in their souls and spirits in the relationship with you. Lord, we can't freely channel grace and blessing where hearts are rough. So keep us sweet, Lord. Keep us patient. And let others, let the world see that we enjoy our relationship with you. For Jesus' sake. Lord, there are many who are going to be this day, this week. And it's not known of me, Lord, the mission of literature that we may have to give up. But Lord, thou must give out of thyself. And so, as we may, whatever time we may go down, a couple of us, we say the things and do the things that thou can say to us, that thou mayest be honored in our lives. And it will cannot be down there as just onlookers and breaking the things of the world, but to be there as ambassadors for thee and show a real interest in those with whom we come in contact. And really talk straight. With pure hearts, fervently presenting thy thoughts and thy things, that people's hearts may be made aware that thou dost live in the hearts of men today. That thou art a powerful, more powerful than the pull of this world. Lord, keep our hearts and minds ever centered in thee. Thou, we have the promise in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep them in perfect peace, with mind stayed in thee. So, Lord, ever keep us in that peace. Help us ever, Lord, to stand ready, almost to give what we want for the hope that is within us. For Jesus' sake, our good and our glory.
Let's have a little scripture reading this morning, please. You just read whatever you want with Jim.
This is the Spirit speaking in the Word in the person of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter.
I can't look because my Bible doesn't, the Testament doesn't go that far.
It's one of the places where I found, checked a reference of the good morning.
Hey, there's only three of you this morning.
You want to join us?
Well, it's like I should, so the others can.
I don't know where they are this morning.
I think it thrills my soul about the word is how that.
That's true, I remember that. It's a great meal, folks.
Yes, please.
We're glad to see you back.
Well, I'm glad to be back. For 3 weeks.
You'll be here for 3 weeks?
Yes, I'll be here 3 weeks.
All right. I hope we have a better showing next Monday than we have this Monday.
Maybe they know I'm back.
No, I don't think so. But the fair, there's a lot of them have booths down at the fair.
Oh, I see.
I still marvel again and again at how much the Lord does in the life of each one of us. That's really what little we give him to do with. And so that's another thing. To a thinking person, we realize that God is. And truly, as he says of himself, that he is a spirit. And yet he took on, in the person of the Lord Jesus, he took upon himself flesh, blood.
Well, Jimmy, isn't it pretty difficult for the, as I use the word temple, it is, we are temple, we are of the earth. In the form of a spirit, are we able to figure out what a spirit is in the sense that God has a spirit?
Well,
good morning.
Good morning, Dale. Oh, thank you. The spirit of man, no one knows man except the spirit of man. We recognize one another for not much, especially for what we say, possibly, but the spirit we bear, the general attitude. If there's constantly snakes in our lives that are striking and biting at everything that shows up, and then we maybe don't have a word for it, but yet we do discern. There's a discerning of the type of spirit. And
good morning.
There's a little Bible. Here, the Lord has a way of bringing thoughts to our mind as we meditate in the Word, and we are discussing the, as regarding the Spirit, God is Spirit. They who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And it isn't a matter of giving God second place. God revealed through the sacrifice ordained of God, you know, that without the shedding of blood there's no forgiveness or remission of sin. And what is so ties in there, word, as regarding the spirit in which the thing is done, they were required to bring the finest of the flock to the sacrifice. The very finest, not a sickly or scrawny animal. The illustration given back here, just if you think that governor would be pleased with their second best, with a sickly or scrawny animal, try giving it to the governor. Well, God, who knows all things, he knows if we're giving him our first place or giving him our best. And so that, by way of symbolism, was required the finest of the flock. So God wants our first allegiance, our first best, not our second best.
Jimmy, have a blessing. Dale, would you ask a question, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful we gather together again to pray in Thy name. We see this morning that the number is few, but Lord God, we know Thou can bless regardless of the number. We know that whenever just a few gather together in Thy name, many blessings can be had. So we pray that Thou will watch over us this morning. You guide us in every way. May we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that we shall have the pilot that will guide us aright. We shall not fail Thee, we pray. Thank Thee for this food this morning. Pray that Thou will bless it, the nurse of our bodies. These bodies may continually be used to lift up Jesus. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Yeah. Okay, Jimmy, just go right on with what you had to say there.
Oh. Well, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall go up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Where were you reading from, Jim?
53rd Isaiah.
All right.
That was the chapter when it spoke understanding to my heart how that it could be the substitutionary suffering of vicarious, the carrying in his body my shame and reproach, that I might be free. And of course, what God says to one, he says to all. And there is no respecter of persons.
Sure, will you?
Excuse me. Where is everybody?
Well, I know Basil has down at the fair this morning. They have a booth down
there. Oh, they have a booth, huh?
And he didn't work on it yesterday. He still had a lot to do this morning.
Probably down there real early this morning.
Yes, I imagine he was.
Big week, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Most everybody.
See, this is yours, and this is mine. We're going to make a little room here. Just going to get syrup on the Bible.
Well, it'll be a big week for one person, I can tell you that for sure.
Hmm. Your wife, Elsie, huh?
That's right.
She's going to work down there?
Secretary. Well,
she's secretary year-round for the fair.
She has her hands full.
Yeah, I imagine.
Secretary to the manager. She goes to work at 7 o'clock in the morning, and she'll come home about 9:30 or 10 tonight. She was there all day yesterday from 8 o'clock until 9:30 last night.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think that isn't a place of characters,
I bet it is.
Oh, boy.
They generally leave everything to the last minute for them.
And then there's a bunch of winos come in every once in a while. They had 3 of them down there the other day. They had to get the sheriff in. So they have 2 or 3 deputies on the grounds there all the time to take care of that kind of stuff.
A lot of those fellows just follow up there for what they can get out of it.
Pickpockets and things like that. You don't hear much about that, but nevertheless, they're there. Who had a mission last week?
Basically, got it this month, didn't he?
Yes, I know, but who took charge of it?
Henry Fisher just finished up there last night.
No, I wanted to hear that fellow.
I was talking to Brother Bob over the phone last night. Wonderful, sweet ministry he has.
Well, here he is.
Well, Basil.
Morning, Basil.
Where's everybody this morning?
Waiting for you.
I made apologies for you. I said you'd be down to the fair this morning.
No, I was sleeping.
Wonder if that's a clue as to where the rest of the boys might be.
John did. I don't know if it's the right one or not.
I got the same new one. Or
oh, the T. Got the one.
Yeah, she saw me.
I've got one of Premier Fisher's messages with the missions on tape.
Yeah.
I guess last night was his last night down there, wasn't it?
Bob called me afterward and said that it's a wonderful, sweet ministry. He was there for 2 weeks. Every night.
Who's going to take the mission for me tonight? Have any idea?
Faithful.
Who are you going to appoint tonight? Until 6:30, when comes come down 6:30, why, she seems to have everything ready, just has a system to her work.
That would be nice if she'd come back again.
She'll be here for 3 weeks.
That's nice.
It would be nice, but I still think that she's doing the thing that she should do. She's studying
oh,
business
yeah.
course, so she can do something better than wait on tables. That's a rough occupation, in case you don't know it. Because
I missed you, Mel.
I took a special note.
Bobby's going what? Did you see it? Oh, here's where I get a chance to get a little
legend. I'll drink hearty.
Yeah, that's what I did. Look at all the fresh toast you have to eat.
Now, Pete being away at the mission board meeting for tomorrow night is postponed, of course.
Yeah, Brother Livingston called me up last night.
And I told him how well that worked out for me, that we got a special Sunday school board meeting over at the EUB.
God, I was going to preach the mission. Have to go down to the fair this morning, I guess. Let that happen tonight. Part of the fair.
Money isn't too bad, is it?
No.
Tomorrow will be a big day.
Kids' day.
Now we stand there with a club.
Yeah.
Where you keep tally for?
My mother used to say, when the kids would get scrapping, she'd tell us to be quiet or she'd pick up one and knock the others down.
We have all the minutes.
All of them?
All the minutes for last week.
They're not very, very heavy, Bert. Are you ready for the minutes?
Well, we might as well have them. If you're ready, that's it.
We're all set here.
Basil, do you want some more bacon?
Yeah. Christian Business Committee Billings. No, the 31st meeting of the year. 6 o'clock a.m., Monday, August 6th. Belknap and Bureau. 12 were present.
After prayer, fellowship was had at the breakfast table. The meeting was open. Minutes were read and accepted as same. No treasury report, Bob Gibbon being out of town. Jim, I didn't get that either in the minutes what it consists of, but Jim read a little message that Bob had given him in discussion of past bills, I guess it was. Discussion, extra officer to be used as a roving officer, and there was no decision made on that. Payment of bills, Roy Pink gave a rundown on the unpaid picnic bills. They are as follows, and I've listed what I had. Roy for lemons, $3, and then Fred was paid, I guess, for the buns, $5. Billings Jerry ice cream, $7, and Roy's sister McDermott, $8 for wieners. Discussion was also had concerning the payment of bills. Testimony was had from Basil Fisher and Howard Waters. Reverend Fisher, or Fisher, spoke from God's Word. He has been speaking at the Christ Rescue Mission. The meeting was adjourned.
Is there any changes or corrections or alterations?
I noticed they called two of those testimonies, one of them speaking from God's Word. I guess it was all about all the same. We didn't have a regular preacher, just three of the fellows opened up the Bible and gave us a word.
To be accepted as that. Is there any? We have a quorum here this morning, according to their, to the.
What is that? That was that 3-2. That was voted on.
3-2.
2-3. Somebody told me. Or was it the other way?
3-2.
3-2.
3-3. What? Three officers
and 2 men. 3-2. Well, then I got it right. I was going to change it. I thought it was the other way.
I have the check made out to Billings Dairy. I have one for Roy Pinnick, but I don't know this Mrs. McDermott, so I can't make that one out. I would like to know who she is.
Well, that's, I'll tell you who it is. It's Roy's sister-in-law. In other words, it's Roy's wife's sister. And just how, whether, what the connection is, why she should pick up the beans, I don't know.
Well,
but evidently,
does anyone know her name or initials or?
Why not make it out to Roy? Just make it out to Roy and see, and give it to him and let him channel it in.
All bills will be paid up until that will balance them up until today, and we will have a balance of 40 cents. That's getting awfully close, and so we're going to have to put some more money in this thing before we can draw any more out. But that's the condition it will leave a bank account in, is 40 cents. And they probably have taken up the 40 cents for cashing our checks, so it's probably zero.
Well, you know, this idea of bills hanging on like this picnic proposition has makes it difficult for everyone. And why couldn't it be set up in some manner that those bills have to be in within a reasonable length of time, within a week's time? There's no reason.
Well, there's really no reason why they weren't paid, with the exception that we had $19 to pay for metal down to a metal shop, and we had the CPMC ad to pay, which was taken care of and repaid, and I forgot to deposit the money in the bank. Now, that was purely my mistake. Pete had paid before that, and I had money in here, and I didn't know what it was for. And so I eventually got that money back into the bank, and it's all straightened out now, with the exception of, at one time, Dale issued me a check for $14.65 to CPMC. And he told me, I believe, that $2 of that was to go to a tract organization. Well, I either misunderstood or forgot it, but anyway, the Billings Gazette is overpaid. They have been paid $14.65, and so we do owe Dale the $2 on the tract, or whichever way you wish to dispose of that, because that would
was purely my fault, which I'm glad to say Dale backed that $2 personally out of my own pocket as far as that's concerned. But as far as that, that's the only, the bank account is all straightened out. And I think we should have a balance if the figures are right, which I have checked last Friday, and we have 40 cents. Mm-hmm. And the the Billings Gazette, all we owe the Billings Gazette is for 2 weeks. Isn't that right, Dale?
Must be. I don't think.
Because did you get your money back then? Or?
No, I haven't had time to get around to it.
Well, what this is it was an audit, the way I understand it. Wasn't it, Dale?
I think you got mixed up between their books and their audit, didn't you?
I believe that's what happened. And anyway, we only owe the Billings Gazette for the past 2 weeks that has run. And Dr. Hagstrom has taken on the obligation for the month of August, which at the end of the month, it would be permissible by Dale. He could, Dr. Hagstrom could just give Dale a check, and that would even the Billings Gazette up without any further mix-up.
I'll put that Hagstrom in here because I didn't have it before. So.
Mm-hmm.
What does that run a month over there?
$840. But that's the only one we have to take this obligation for the month of August. That's, as far as that's concerned, a month of time is enough. But we should know who is going to pay.
Is there any possibility of having that ad? I think you already answered this question. With Christian Businessmen's Committee instead of CBMC.
They tell me they can't get it in that inch ad, but I've tried that over there. They just think it won't work.
There's plenty of space in the ad. I was looking at it yesterday.
It seems to me maybe they can cut those letters down. What do you think?
Yes. If a person doesn't know what CBMC is, why?
It's just
four letters, that's all. It's in the church column, must be a church someplace, or something like that. If they don't know what it is, and if they had the Christian Businessmen's Committee, the fact that it's a businessmen's organization, it might...
We might try to cut the letters down and try it once that way.
Well, I think of myself, I'd like to see the name in there instead of just the letters.
We could ask him if he could do that, because then they could maybe... Of course, but they probably don't like the crowded because they want it to look right, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of those typesetters are pretty particular about how they set up a little ad like that.
Is it $8, then, that we owe this particular woman? Is that what it is?
That's for Wieners, $8.
Have you a bill on that?
No, we didn't. See, we didn't get any bills. That's one thing that slowed things, probably, because we didn't have any.
I think that's one thing that we should demand.
We have to have a bill because you don't have anything to show for where that money went.
I mean, whoever does the purchasing, ask. We would like to have a, definitely would like to have a
Thanks.
Bill. Maybe make it out of Roy Penny. Roy Penny. Yeah, I would say make it to Roy and let Roy turn it over to him.
What's the date today? 13th?
13th, beginning of the fair.
Next Monday morning is when this program director from KGDM Seattle will be here.
Mm-hmm. Dale know all the details on that so he can get it in.
Yes, for the next ad, you see, it should go in.
What is that now?
Program director.
From where?
From KGDM, Seattle. We'll be here next Monday.
What's that KGDM?
Broadcasting station. Yes, it's a Christian broadcasting station, King's Garden. And I have a little rundown on the... I brought the loudspeaker along, and I suppose a small group here, we'd even need to set it up. But I have a little rundown on that from him, personally. Now, he's related here in town. Sammy Keeson's wife is a brother to this fellow. Jerry Swanson is his name.
This guy named Jerry?
Jerry Swanson. You see, he wrote it himself in here. I contacted him, interviewed him while I was cutting his hair.
Oh.
And there, that's his...
Oops.
Oh,
illusion.
Yeah.
King Jerry, S-W-A-N-S-O-N. Of King's Gardens, huh?
Mm-hmm. Here's the brochure they have.
What's this, North Seattle, huh?
I can guess some.
Off the highway, King's Garden.
Yeah, maybe that'll give
my destination.
I need to find out. Anyway.
Take the places of those that can't be present among the officers. Is that possible? Well, the reason I ask this is that I'm sorry I'm going to have to leave you men. I have a job change come up that takes me all over the state, so it'd be impossible for me to be here each Monday morning. And I cannot do justice to the office as a whole under those conditions. Even though I'd like to be with you. Possibly I haven't done justice to the office anyway, as far as that's concerned. But,
the book's balanced.
The Lord knows the book's balanced, and that's all that's necessary. So if it is your pleasure that you appoint someone else, why, that is.